So I'm Pastor Mark, and it is a blessing to be here with all of you. This is a ministry, a branch of Hollywood United Methodist Church, and we are so excited as we're approaching and anticipating Christmas Day. It is phenomenal. I want to invite Kim Hillman and Dwayne Owens Ford, as they will be, Kim will be reading on this fourth Sunday of Advent, and Dwayne will be lighting these candles. And this is a phenomenal and a wonderful brother and sister who we dearly love. Dwayne.
This is the fourth Sunday in Advent. Today, we light the three purple candles and the pink candle. The first Sunday, we lit the candle of hope. On the second Sunday, it went out. Pastor, I get it. Glad this is not TV. Okay, let's try that again. Today, we light the three purple candles and the pink candle. The first Sunday, we lit the candle of hope. There we go. On the second Sunday, we lit the candle of love. On the third Sunday, we lit the candle of joy. Today, we light the candle of peace. Our world is not always a peaceful world. People hurt other people. Countries are at war today. People don't take care of the world. But God promises peace. During Advent, we pray that we, as well as all people, will seek God's peace. When we look at the fourth candle, we remember God's promise of peace. Let us recall the words of Jesus in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. In times of war and hatred, it's difficult to remember that Jesus is the one who brings peace. As we approach Christmas, let us remember that God's intention is a place of peace where people shake hands instead of harm one another. Amen.
Too late before the king, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. okay?
Light of light, eternal hope has come. By and by to lead us back to love.
Oh, come let us adore him.
listen to the angels rejoicing now so sweetly, receiving heaven's glory the night that Christ was born. Can't you see the people coming from every nation, pleading for salvation the night that Christ was born? Listen to the angels rejoicing
to be with you on this fourth Sunday in December to conclude our current sermon series, Awaiting the Already. And I just want to take this moment to say that during next Sunday's worship service that our faith community is going to be truly gifted with a wonderful message coming from Harmony's one of Harmony's leaders, Ashley Roke, as she shares her passion for the church. And Ashley has a strong heart and a call for ministry, and congratulations again on her acceptance to Claremont School of Theology. Yeah. And I know that what she shares is going to be powerful and inspiring. Amen. So here we are in the midst of awaiting the already, having previously covered scripture passages in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we were focusing on three themes of anticipation, expectation. And we were also focusing on the portraits and perspectives of the coming of Christ. Prepare, choices, sing. And this morning we're going to bring forward the fourth gospel. and the perspective and the portrait. And it comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And today's scripture translation comes from the New Revised Standard Version. And it will be shown, the verses will be shown on the TV monitors. And I'll invite Charles Klossmeyer to come forward to share this morning's reading with us. Again, John 1, 1 through 18.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God the only Son who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known."
Thank you, Chuck. And may the Holy One, the true light in our lives, bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. Amen. John's gospel account. Wow. Man, these 18 verses, they are potent, and they've got this artistic flourish, and they're resounding magnificent. And what we have here is the Advent narrative. It's the Advent narrative. It's the expectation of Jesus and providing us a way of understanding Christ. It opens the road to John's Christology, which he takes from this point and he moves all the way forward through the entire gospel account. And it's in these 18 verses which John opens up with, he's got this wide-angle vision of the Word's power and the prestige, and then he moves it in to focus on the Word made flesh. He goes from this cosmic preeminent Christ to the finite incarnate Jesus. Here's a case in point, and here's where the teacher in me comes out. So if you have your Bibles handy, take a look at this chapter, look at your Bible apps if you want. But what I'm going to do is we're going to look at this opening portion of John's gospel in this first chapter. And what we're going to do is we're going to take this from a wide-angle lens, and then we're going to zoom in. And I want you to visualize four concentric circles. So four concentric circles. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this scripture passage and go right to it. So here we go. We're going to start with the wide angle. And so we start with verses 1 through 3a. And what we have here is this is the widest circle, and this is the Word who has existed from the beginning of time, the universal and divine creator of all. And then we move in slightly, and this is where we've got 3b, verses 3b through 5, and this is that next concentric circle, and this is where the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The Word, who is the source of all light and life, vanquishes that darkness. And then we skip over to verses 9 through 13. And then we zoom in, and that's when we have this third circle. And that's the one in which the Word rules the world and all who inhabits it. And then we go into the fourth circle. And that's the final one, the most specific of them all. And this is verse 14, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word is expressed in a singular, finite, human form, and the Word's name is Jesus Christ. Now, that may, for some, sit there and go, that sounds a little familiar. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take us on another journey because John is very clever. John is very clever. So you got these four concentric circles, and let's move them over. And now I want you to visualize four more concentric circles, because what John did is he took us all the way back to the opening of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, very first verse. Here we go. Widest circle. You got two verses, first two verses. God is there and exists from the beginning, the universal and divine creator of all. Then we zoom in and we go into the next circle. And what happens? This is verses 3 through 5. And it starts off and it says, and then God said, let there be light. And there was light, right? The Holy One is the source of light and life and all life. And so here's where the Eternal One comes. And he separates the light from the darkness. And that's where John poetically says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And then you go into this next circle, going inward, and you got verses 9 through 13, or actually 9 through 11. And it's here where we see the everlasting Father who rules the earth and all who inhabit it. And then you've got this creation story. Got the creation story, and it takes us all the way up to verse 25. And then this is, then we zoom in and go very specific, final circuit. Circle is contained within 26 and 27 of Genesis 1. God's image is expressed in finite human form. What John did here, very clever again, he does this fascinating parallel, and he connects this. But what happened in the incarnation was the inauguration of a new creation and a new covenant through a new divine image in human form, the Word made flesh, Jesus, the light that shines in the midst of a dark world, Jesus, the light of enlightenment that helps us from stumbling in the night and in the dark by challenging us to walk into the light. With the incarnation of Christ, what that did is it caused a dynamic shift in the relationship between God and humanity. Because if we go all the way back then, if you wanted a connection with the divine, you had to go through an intermediary. You had to go through the priest. And even at that point, you were still separated. There was no other connection. You had to go through someone and you were still left out. And what happens is then what Jesus gets in and he arrives, that wall is completely broken down, because that's when humanity then is able to see and hear and know God in ways that weren't possible before. I think we take that for granted. That had to be the most amazing thing that happened back then, is Jesus arriving, and now there's that direct connection to God. What happened is it established a life-changing, eternal moment and a bond with the Holy One, choosing to live in the human experience and in the human weakness, Emmanuel right there in the midst of our deep hurts and pains and wounds, the gift of Jesus causing a seismic spiritual shift lasting forever. Mentioning deep hurts and wounds and pains, this past Thursday, which I had mentioned earlier, we held our Blue Christmas service of light. And I want to be sure and give a shout out to everyone who participated in that meaningful worship experience. Thank you. In this holiday season of joy and light, sometimes it feels a lot more like darkness. It's a darkness that's real and frightening. And it could be for whatever reason. You know, folks, we go through difficult times, and that may even include you, where you got to put on the happy face because it's Christmas. But underneath that happy face, it's anything but happy. And that's one of the reasons why we offer this Blue Christmas Gathering, so that those that are going through such a time, and they can experience a moment by being here in this community in the midst of love and care and support. And that's where the light shines. During this week, I was reflecting back on the state of the world when Jesus was born. And I was thinking, you know, that was a world going through its own Blue Christmas. And I was, because there was no holiday cheer. There were no festive displays, and there was certainly not this widespread goodwill among all humanity. And I was thinking about the past couple of Sundays where we were talking about, and this is darkness. Darkness in its varying shadowed forms, where we were talking about Elizabeth and Zachariah, and we have Mary and Joseph, and then we also have the shepherds. And I was pondering about those individuals. And so you got Zachariah and Elizabeth. Zachariah and Elizabeth, they had been wanting a child so badly, but pregnancy was not in the picture. And I just want you to know that actually had to deeply hurt Zachariah. Not only Elizabeth, but Zachariah, because a priest without a child, that meant he'd not have the favor of God on his behalf. And a priest who has no favor with God, And then you got Mary and Joseph, and they're thrilled and they're excited. They're about to get it. They are engaged. They're having this marriage. The good times are coming, and then Mary comes in, and boom, she tells Joseph, I'm pregnant with God's child. That might have been what Joseph said. From the mouth of babes. And you know, the shadows, they had to have covered Joseph. Hearing that news, his heart, can you imagine? I want you to think about that. If he got that news and you heard that, would your heart not go, oh, just, And then he has to make a tough decision at this moment. The shadows are coming in. He has to make a tough decision because this is mind-boggling news that has come to him about his significant other. And then let's not forget Mary. Because Mary, she was going through this too with the shadows, because she's got this immense amount of fear and trepidation experiencing this. Because imagine what she went through to go and tell Joseph this news, knowing that what she says could go sideways real quick. And when I say sideways, that's the severe possibility of being stoned to death. That was biblical law.
And let's not forget the shepherds, representing the lowly of the low, being considered unworthy by religious leaders. In essence, these religious leaders, they despised them and basically told the shepherds, don't darken our doorsteps. Darkness was there for every one of these individuals, and darkness was being experienced across this inhospitable land, a sort of dog-eat-dog mentality. And you got this paranoid, uber-paranoid, murderous King Herod the Great, and he's constantly threatening them, a citizenry experiencing hopelessness under harsh oppression. And then, it was right then that light broke through, breathtakingly like the most remarkable bright twinkling star that you've ever seen, right there in the dark, ominous night sky, where a childless couple, Zachariah and Elizabeth, who had lost all hope, suddenly pregnant, where Joseph's eyes are opened by an angel receiving word that indeed Mary's child was the Messiah and is the Messiah who will save his people from their sins. And that's when Joseph, he then walks with the light in his heart to love and care for Mary and love and care for this child. Where Elizabeth confirmed what Mary had been told, saying to her, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. light, pushing away any trepidation, any fear, pushing out the darkness. And right there in the gloom, uncertainty, and despair, the hurts and troubles that were being experienced, Jesus enters the world as it is to save us, to be the truth and light that shines radiantly in all of that darkness. Here is Emmanuel. God is with us. God has come here to be with you, with all of us, with us in our darkness, so that we can see and witness the greatest light, the divine creator's light of eternal hope, the light shining throughout this world, making us aware that we are not alone. My friends, we have a constant companion who walks alongside us in this path of life, not at a distance, not far away, but alongside us, right there going through our joys as well as our sorrows. God gives you hope that will not fade. God gives you peace that will not be understood. God gives you love that will not let you go, and God gives you joy that will not create shadows. Is that good news? Yeah, but I think it's great news. And within these 18 verses from the first chapter of John is an implied invitation for us as we await the presence of Christ that's already among us. Now, what is that invitation? To reflect the light of Christ for others. To reflect the light of Christ so that anyone walking in darkness can experience the light of the divine Creator. For those among us in this world who live with shame, guilt, addiction, we can reflect a light of forgiveness, grace, and acceptance. For those who are overwhelmed by anguish and hopelessness, we can offer a light of courage and affirming hope. For those who live in the shadow of death, we can embody a light of comfort and a promise of the resurrection. For all of us who are awaiting the arrival of the light of Christ once again this Christmas, we can already offer that light to a world living in darkness. So, wrapping up the sermon series, how should we await the already? Slow down. Turn our lives around. Prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, opening them to allow Jesus in. Choose to trust God with everything, everything, and learn to experience the Holy One's presence in each and every moment. Sing. Sing. And in our songs, have the Lord work through us to be a blessing. And fourth, claim the light of God. Claim the light of Christ and reflect that light for others. Dear ones, let us be bold, let us be fearless, let us be faithful and hold the candle of hope with its inextinguishable light against the darkness of this world, wherever it may be. Amen. Amen.